Elay leaned in and said something to Freddie.
Don't let them change you. Keep working on what makes you different and what makes you special. It was great advice, but it caused me some problems.
But what could change Freddie do?
Soccer is going to explode, and it's going to be around this kid.
We were the Beatles. Everywhere we went, it was the Freddie show.
And with that came the expectation, and with that came the pressure.
New episodes of American Prodigy drop Tuesdays from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Welcome, everybody, to Dropping the Gloves. What do you think of that? What do you think of that title, Marcus, Dropping the Gloves?
It sounds very fitting.
No, Marcus Foligno's here, everybody. I didn't even introduce him. Oh, my goodness. Former Sudbury Wolf, former Buffalo Sabre, current Minnesota Wild, Marcus Foligno. How are you, Marcus? Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, awesome. Doing well. Good to see you again, and thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have my former teammates. Oh, and Tim's here too. Hi, Tim.
Hi, John. Hey, hi, Tim. Marcus.
Tim, that's enough. Too much talking.
Sorry.
Yeah, Marcus knows. He's listened to the show. He knows how it goes. But anyways, we're lucky
enough. Just point to me when you want me to talk.
Okay. You can turn you can turn your video off, Tim. It's fine.
That's what John used to do to me when I was a rookie. I would say something like, well, I didn't point at you to talk. And I'm like,
okay, I was a good vet. Actually, let's talk about that. Okay, so you were on that Buffalo team. Were you playing when Miller got ran by Lucic?
I was in the farm. I was in Rochester.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the year before you came.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal. We got John Scott that summer, and then it was like
– Were you excited that I was coming or no?
I mean, yeah, I was because I think like – Not that like I came in and I had like 14 game stint and it was like a lot of physical play. I just kind of went balls to the walls as far as I could last a little bit. And then obviously I didn't play Boston that year, but that kind of brought me in because of just physicality reasons. And then it was nice to know that I had a legit tough guy coming into our team to help us out with teams like Boston.
Yeah. Cause and, you guys and just then I remember said Gosted, right? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, that Gosset got traded at the deadline when I got called up, and it was just like kind of swapping out, and it was not a lot of pressure, but you're kind of looked at to provide that physicality to help out Miller. And then you came in, and I remember that game in Boston where you fought Thornton, and I think we ended up coming back and scoring 8 on those guys. And then it was just hectic. It was just having you in the lineup made me stand up a little bit taller.
We were line mates for a few games. I think
more than a few. I think for like at least 30.
And we played well. We were the third line for a while.
Yep.
Anyway, so was it weird being called up? Gosset got traded. Did you feel pressure to be like, I got to be the guy? You know what I mean? Like, this is my chance. I got to start. Did you fight a lot when you first got called up?
I only had one fight when I got called up. Mainly because I think I was playing with Stafford and Ennis. Tyler Ennis. So
you weren't the
And
new
it
God
was like
said.
A second line almost, and we were playing really well, and offense was there. And then the following year, though, the lockout year, when we came in, I think there was a lot more pressure to kind of be physical. I mean, being down in Rochester, I fought a little bit more than coming in. I think I had a fight kind of right away, the first game of the year and stuff like that. So I remember, like, you know, we had Cody McCormick.
Steve, we had a tough team. Like, we did have a tough team.
But and it just kind of wheels fell off. It was a shortened season, and I don't think it would – I mean, you know, Darcy Regier fired Lindy Ruff, and then it kind of just rebuilt.
The Pat LaFontaine experiment. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. So many things I forget about that happened, and it was like not even stuff in the team. It was like off-ice issues. It was crazy.
It was so random. We had a Pat LaFontaine who came in. I think he was a GM or president, and he was there for a week. So it was, then he quit, and it was just so bizarre. And then we had Teddy Nolan came in to try to right the ship, and then they just traded everybody. Like, absolutely everybody got shipped out. Jordan Leopold, Robin Regier, everybody got dealt.
We had all those experienced guys. Like, it was insane. It was insane to go from the team that we had, and then, like, in a blink of an eye, it was, like, you know, it was the Rochester Americans.
Isn't that funny? What was that like? Because you stayed a lot longer than I did. What was it like going in? Because we were honestly Stanley Cup contenders that year because it was a shortened season. Yeah. Everyone was like, they have a really, really good team. And then we lost the first seven, and then they just gutted our team. We stunk the year after. Like, we were last place. I think we were going to set the record for the least goals scored ever. Luckily, I buried a couple, and we got over that benchmark. What was it like to go from, like, Stanley Cup contender and then Buff? Like, you guys were awful for years.
It was definitely, like, I was thinking about it before coming on here, and I'm like, it was, like, guys like you and, like, we had some good dudes, like, in the locker room. I think, like, that helped.
Yeah,
getting through those miserable times. Like, yeah. we actually had a close team, but it was just so bizarre because I think as a young guy, if you look at it now, like being older, and you look back at it and you're like, I wonder what I would be like, the player I would be like now if I was on like an experienced team, like a team that was winning for years to come. And then you look at it the other way where you're like, did I get lucky because I was on a young team and I got to play and I got to get the experience? And you know what I mean? So there's two ways of looking at it, but I just found it was just so tough to go from that team that was expected to make a playoff push. And then before you know it, you're just hoping for a lottery pick.
Did you ever get just like worn out? Like, I just like, this is brutal. Like what's that? Yeah. We went through like, I think 4 GMs during your time in Buffalo. Like it's tough as a young player.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was, I mean, yeah, we had, like you said, we had a lot of management swap outs and you kind of just, you were hearing, you liked the guy. Then before you know it, he was fired. And then you know, they brought in someone that you didn't like, and then he was let go. And then it just felt like years were going by so fast there. But really when you're in it, it was going so slow. You just wonder what it would be like if they would have kept Lindy or you know, if we wouldn't have had a bad start that come that lockout year, things would have been different probably, but it happened so quick. And I mean, geez, you look at all the guys that went through that lineup. I think my last year in Buffalo, I was the only one on the team since the 2013 season.
No kidding.
And like now looking in that locker room, I'm just like, I think it just gave my head a shake. It was just insane to kind of be in the NHL and go through that. But
it is funny because I played on 7 teams in my career, and I can still look back on 6 of the 7 teams and say, oh, yeah, I played with that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy. Buffalo, like you said, 4 years past the team, I couldn't name one guy on the team. Well, that I played with. Unbelievable.
I think the one guy that I think you only played with was Risto Lannan.
Risto is, the only guy. Yeah, we had him on the show last year. And
did you really?
Yeah, we talked about him when I choked him out in the stick room and stuff.
I was going to bring that up because that was probably one of the funniest things I've ever witnessed.
You witnessed that?
Yeah, it was in the stick room.
You were in there?
Yeah, I was in there. I was. Well, he shoved his jock in your face.
Yeah.
And all the guys were, I think you went in there and everyone kind of left no one wanted to be a witness of it. So we just said, we saw Risto shaking on the ground and we said, he'll come back.
I thought he died. That's so funny because I thought I was in there by myself. It's funny when you like kind of black out like that. I was upset. I was very upset.
Well, I mean, it was a losing season. And you got a jock shoved in your face by a rookie. I mean, I would do the same thing probably.
It's just the balls on that guy. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's so funny.
That's the way it went down in Buffalo.
No respect. All right, go ahead, Tim. Tim's talking, everybody. Hold on.
Mr. Foligno, do you mind? May I get a minute?
Oh my gosh.
when you first called up, like 18, 19 years old, what was your like welcome to the NHL moment? Was there a moment when you're lining up against Jágr on the faceoff or a hit from Cronwall, something like that, when you realized you were in the show?
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple stints like with Ottawa. I played them my first 2 games, and I think just like the pace of the game was like welcome to the thing. But I remember my one was we were in Washington, and that was so cool because I'm playing against Ovechkin. But they had Alexander Semin on their team.
Yeah,
and I mean there's footage of it for sure. But I got absolutely toe dragged on a face-off win in our D zone. We actually, sorry, they won the face-off, but it went to Alexander Semin, and I'm like, they're like, okay, you got to go out to Semin. You got to go out to Semin because I was the winger in the inside. Like, you got to go out to Semin. I'm like, yeah, I got Semin. And I went to go, and I'd like jumped the face off. I'm like, I'm just going to go and bull rush this guy. And I remember I just went to go poke check him, and he legit like went all the way around my stick and ripped the cheese on Ryan Miller.
No.
And guys were staring at me like it was like, luckily we still won the game, but I'm like, this guy's like, there's some good players in this league though. And then Alexander Semin was so skilled, and I don't know, just playing against that line of Ovechkin. I think Semin was on there, and then maybe Backstrom too. But that was my welcome to the NHL moment. I was pretty stupid.
That's so when you played the World Juniors, did you play against him?
No, Semin?
Because he's Russian, right? I thought you might have played against him.
Yeah, he's Russian. I was in the year with Kuznetsov and Tarasenko.
Oh, okay. And Panarin, right?
And Panarin, yeah.
How sick were they at 18?
We were the team that was up 3-0 in the third, and we lost 5-3.
Yeah. How unbelievable were those guys?
Unreal. I mean, I still think they took some Russian gas before the third period because it was insane how good they were in the third period. But really? they made us look pretty foolish. I think on like three of the five goals they scored, it was all Tarasenko and Kuznetsov and Panarin on all of them. So, and Panarin, I think, was like a lot younger at the time. I think he was like an underage in that World Junior or something like that. And he was phenomenal. And Kuznetsov could still fly like he is now. And Tarasenko was like the one. Tarasenko was more of a big name in that World Junior than those two guys were, and for good reason, obviously. But yeah, those Russians are pretty skilled. we never got lucky with some of those guys.
Yeah, those Russians are pretty skilled. It's so funny.
I'm still looking for that puck that Semin put around my body.
Everyone's been toe-dragged, Marcus. It's okay.
I know.
I don't think, actually, you know what? I don't think I've been toe-dragged, but I don't want to.
You weren't on the ice enough.
There's not many guys in the fourth line who can toe-drag. That's the thing, because I would have never been out against Semin.
I don't think you poke-check people. I think you would go right through them.
I would have elbowed him in the face and gotten a 7-game suspension. There's no way. There's no way I was going to let that happen. That's funny. So, okay. Tim, do you have another one or no?
Yeah, I have plenty of questions. Oh, I mean, one, I want to talk a little bit about Jack Eichel. I mean, he was drafted in 2015.
Yeah.
Did you know right away just how special of a player he was? Were there any kind of wow moments at tryouts or practice where you're like, wow, this kid is legit superstar in the making?
Yeah, I mean, right from training camp. Awesome. And I think what I loved about him too is he was obviously highly touted. And I mean, he could have been number one. Matt Molson on our team took him in. Mm-hmm. And I think that really helped him get used to the guys because I think we got to know Jack off the ice even better. And I'm telling you, man, this guy's awesome off the ice too. Like he's the perfect guy. He's unbelievable player. Like he's a great dude and a great leader for that organization. So, and especially a kid that, you know, one thing that I noticed that, I mean, maybe, hey, I should take a page out of his book a little bit is how hard he is on himself. And that's why it makes him so great. So, yeah, he like, you know, if he misses a shot from that, he should pick the corner where I'm thinking just get it on net. Like he gets mad at himself for it. And that's what makes him elite. So he's an unbelievable player. And I mean, he's so much fun to watch. I think he's easily like the top 5 or 10 players in the league. Easily.
He doesn't get his due. I will say that. He doesn't get his due.
I just think it's a team, you know, just the way he hasn't had success lately. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy single-handedly wins games for them. So
legit. They really haven't surrounded him with a lot of guys who can compliment him that much. So
yeah.
When that lottery was happening, were you watching that? Like, okay, we could get McDavid.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Were you guys sitting around like hoping to get number one, obviously, or was that were you just on vacation somewhere?
Well, Jack had this awesome video that went viral. I don't know if you've ever seen that, where he chugged a beer and he said, "I'm coming for you, Buffalo," at some college party.
No, did he really?
So that went viral, and it was pretty comical. So I think like ever since that happened, all the guys in the dressing room were like, "We want this kid. We want this kid. He's going to fit in great here." So I mean, not that, you know, we lost. Obviously, we didn't lose, but we could have gotten McDavid, but obviously Edmonton got him, and Jack was coming to Buffalo before we knew it. So yeah, that was probably one of the better drafts too as of late. So
heck yeah, and we didn't drink much beer in Buffalo. Like
no.
We were very straight-laced. We kept it professional. I think maybe on a plane ride, Zenon Konopka might have had one glass of wine. That was it.
The hoppy wine, that's it.
I forgot about
that. I want to ask him how that winery of his is going.
I see him every once in a while at like an alumni game or something, and he just you remember he used to.
Is he still tiptoeing across the dress room to his stall when he comes in about five minutes before getting dressed?
Yeah, chugs five Red Bulls, tiptoes across there, and gets dressed real fast. That was a fun team. My God. Oh, I love that team.
That's what I meant. I think that we had a lot of guys that kept it fun because it was such a miserable time going through all that stuff. And honestly, like we had a lot of fun with it all.
We won 20 games.
Put a positive spin on it.
Right? For a team that we weren't expected to win much. But we had a good time doing it. Everyone always asked me, like, why did you dance behind guys at the meetings? Like, when they did their interviews, I would always jump behind guys and stuff. I'm like, why not? Like, hockey's fun. Yeah. It is what it is. So,
yeah.
Do you remember when I got knocked out by Justin Johnson at the last game of the season?
Yeah, you know what? I remember vividly going out. And we're warming up or something like, and Teddy Nolan comes up into us and he's talking to me like me, Konopka, and you.
Yeah.
And maybe like even someone else that was a tough one at time on our team. And they had like Gallant
Johnson, and they had a couple other guys. And didn't he say don't fight them or something, right?
Yeah, he said don't fight them. And then Konopka's like, I'll take Johnson, you take Gallant. Then you ended up taking Johnson. And the guy switched on. And it was the worst part about it, last game of the year.
I was just like, come on. He asked me in warm-ups, and I was like, no, I'm not fighting. Sorry. First shift, he taps me. I'm like, I'm not going to get embarrassed, but, you know, c'est la vie.
Yeah, he just did a quick switch on you. It looks like he's done that stuff before.
He's done. Yeah, it would have been nice if you would have taken him, Marcus. Whatever.
Yeah, I would have. My head would have still been in the whatever the freaking arena is called now, but in
first,
the Sabres arena.
First credit union.
You got back up really quick, though. I got to give it to you.
I smiled. I like getting beat up sometimes. It keeps you.
It looked like you kind of just got bit by a bee, and then you just kind of popped back up. I don't know how you did it. I think that's where we're all impressed. It's like, oh, my God.
You're very kind, Marcus. No, I got beat up.
You know what? Funny. That was one fight, though, I saw that you lose and the whole time play with this. So that's pretty good.
That's nice. Thank you.
So,
and you had some good ones. George Parros one in Florida was pretty intense.
Yeah, that was a good one. I miss playing hockey a little bit. It's fun to talk about.
I just didn't realize how big that guy was compared to you. Like, usually you make some guys look pretty small. So, I didn't realize how big he was until we got on the ice with him.
6'5", 6'6". Now he's a player safety guy. Do you ever talk to him? Have you ever been suspended?
No. You know what's great? Nick did. Nick got suspended this year, and he talked to him. He said, George is not a nice guy. Really? And no, it's just because he suspended him for a couple of games and lost a little bit of money. But, no, I've talked to him when he comes to the training camps to kind of, you know, go over the player safety, but no, I haven't crossed the line yet to get caught where I have to talk to him.
To get caught. It's funny. I remember when your brother got suspended, I said something on the podcast. I was like, yeah, Nick Foligno is one of the dirtiest players in the NHL. He's terrible. I'm like, he's been suspended before. And I took a lot of heat for it. Everyone's like, no, he's never been suspended. What are you talking about? And I had to, to recant my statement because that was his first suspension, I think. So anyways.
Yeah, which I'm shocked that it was because Nick is dirty.
Well, he's not dirty, but he plays on the line. Like, he's a physical player like yourself.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you've never been suspended.
He was a little bit more of ratty, dirty.
Oh, you think so?
Like, he would cheap shot you or get you pretty good with a slash or something like that. And now they're they might suspend you for, like, you know, when the guys would kind of can open you if you're in the front of the net and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
You get suspended for that stuff now. It's just, yeah, there's a lot of rules now that are changing.
Really?
The man can't whack you in the back of the legs. And
do you like that?
Make it rough. I don't know. I mean, I think it's part of the game. I don't think you can take that stuff away.
Yeah, so you don't like the changes.
Yeah, I mean, just the stuff in front of the net, the little, you know, because when playoffs happen, it doesn't get called. So
right?
Why are we?
That's funny. Man, it's funny you don't hear about that, but yeah, I don't like that. Yeah. They're changing the fabric of the game, and I don't know why they're doing it. The game's fine.
I mean, guys make a living in front of the net taking a beating.
Indeed.com. Oh, 2020 is almost over. Finally, I can't believe it. It's December. Thank goodness. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient. Working abroad, you can't go into work, which means every hire is critical. That's why Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job sites. That's what you want. You get eyes on your job. You don't post it and three schlubs in Indiana look at it. You get everybody all over the world. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. And now, Indeed's new way of matching with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do, baby. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit. $75 to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. So try out Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere, right here on my show. So go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. You better believe it. Football is back and it's in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. So head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline. They are your online sports book experts. Do you find that your game style is slowly being weeded out, or are you being more effective because there's less of you, the fast physical guys who get in on the forecheck?
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I realized I've kind of had to adapt to is being quicker and faster and like those penalty kill roles and things like that, where you're effective that way and being a little more defensive and stuff like that. So, I think there's less of us that, you know, can try to play and can stick up for teammates and, you know, do that. And then you have to obviously try to chip in offensively. So, I think we're slowly, I think there's less guys like that now. And maybe it is better because I'm still able to keep up and do that stuff. But there's less of that. I mean, the tough guy mentality role where you're just going out and you got to be able to make plays and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, that role is dead. It's kind of cool where you are literally one of a select few of the guys who can still hang, you know what I mean? Like, cause I felt like I was one of the last true fighters to play the game. And now you're one, like there's not many power forwards in the game. There really isn't. Every team might have one or two.
Yeah.
Kinda cool.
Yeah. No, that's the thing, right? It's pretty nice to be one of the guys that is counted on to be that power forward. So, I mean, it's big if you're that for your team. So, going up against a guy like you is rare now. So that's one thing that's a positive for guys in the league. It's just that mentality of, you know, you guys, I'm sure you've had to, where you already know what's the night before, what's it going to look like for you guys with the guys on their team of who you're fighting. And that's kind of out the window a little bit, that mentality.
Yeah. I was going to ask, who makes you nervous now? Like who keeps you up at night?
I mean, in ways, I think, like, you know, the toughest guys, you look at the Ryan Reeves, the Lucic's, like, you know, those guys, you're going to have to, because I play on the edge, you know, you look at like what Tom Wilson goes through and things like that, you know, you're eventually going to have to answer the bell to one of those guys, because it's just how we have to play. And, and if you don't, then you're not effective. So, I fought Reeves 2 years ago, and it was just a nice big bear hug, so I got lucky there. But it's just stuff that you know I'm okay with, but you gotta, those things, you gotta keep your head on the swivel, because those guys are pretty intimidating.
So Marcus, 2017, you're traded to Minnesota. How do you find out about the trade? It's one of those things where you see it on Twitter before you get the call. And what was your reaction, and maybe who kind of was the guy that you clicked with right away when you got there?
Yeah, funny thing about that is I was actually in a wedding party for my brother-in-law, who's getting married that day. So I, my brother-in-law, actually my other brother-in-law, had my phone, and he's like, "Hey, it looks like, you know, your GM of Buffalo is calling you." And I go, "Oh, okay." So I answered it and, like, not thinking about anything. And I think we're having some casual drinks before they're getting the photos going for the wedding party. And I got told I was traded there. So it that whole thing, you know, you're on a having fun with all the groomsmen and stuff like that, enjoying the day. And then you kind of get told the news. So then I had to call with obviously my wife right away, and she was in the wedding party for the other side. So with the bridesmaids. So it was kind of it was a weird moment. And then it was a lot of interviews, and then I just turned my phone off and enjoyed the night. So that was pretty much how that day went. It's weird. Honestly, I think it's just cause I've been in Buffalo for 6 years and just having so many ties to that city. And it was obviously a little bit weird leaving Buffalo. But I was lucky to be leaving Buffalo with Tyler Ennis. So that was one thing that was pretty cool. I got traded with Tyler Ennis in that trade for an ex-Saber, Jason Palmville, who I played with my first couple of years. So really, really weird trade. But I knew a little bit of a couple guys. Chris Stewart was on the team in Minnesota, and I played with him in Buffalo. And we have a pretty good core here now, and guys that were here when I got here. So, yeah, I was lucky to kind of have someone to go into Minnesota with on the same terms as myself. But all the guys seemed to be pretty good, and it was pretty easy to kind of transition into.
Marcus, Danielle wants to say hi.
Hi, Danielle. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Nice to see you guys.
Yeah, you too.
How we were just talking about how you had life with one daughter, now you got six. So
I feel like we had two little ones when we were there, right?
Not right off the bat. We had one right at one.
Yeah. I think and then at the end you had the second one.
I was actually telling that to John, because I remember you and Tasha were just like young, not even married, and
yeah, I know
we were kind of your position because you guys have a new little one right now, right?
Yeah, we have. We got the 2.5-year-old Olivia, then we got the 2-month-old Camila.
And I love the names; they're so beautiful.
You.
And your
the Italian names.
Oh, beautiful! And your girls are just adorable. You've got to see them. They're like just incredibly cute.
Well, thanks to you and Natasha, they're good looking girls. That's why, you know what I mean? We're lucky, hey, John.
Smart guys.
Yeah, I'm not one to look at. Like, I think if anyone's ever seen me, they know that. But you're good looking, Marcus. Stop it. What happened? Because your brother's ugly.
They must. Yeah, it was the mailman that year. The mailman was tough that year.
I got that joke so much as a kid because all my brothers are like 5'10". They're like, "How tall is the milkman?" I'm like, "Whack." In the face. Like, good one, buddy. That's funny. But anyway, what were you guys talking about? Sorry, Danielle came over.
Well, I want to ask
transition to Buffalo.
Yeah. I want to ask about Mikko Koivu because, I mean, obviously he's now no longer part of that. Of the Wild team, which is really an end of an era in Minnesota. Can you talk a little bit about just, I mean, how good of a leader he is, what he mean to that franchise, and maybe what is he underrated as an offensive player? I think he doesn't get really, his name doesn't get thrown out too much, but he's put up some quietly good numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. Mikko's awesome. I mean, honestly, he's probably, you know, he's one of the best captains I've ever had the privilege of playing for. And I think the thing with Mikko that, you know, anyone will say this is this what he brought every day to the rink. I mean, he was like even keel. He was, his work ethic was always there. He was kind of the easiest guy to follow. And that's what made him so good. You know, he's a Finnish guy. So you always gave him that, you know, he never always had a easy smile. You know, it was tough to kind of make the guy smile. He always looked really intense. But that was Mikko. That's what made him who he was. But, he was always a good guy, up to having a good time and stuff like that, and gathering the guys together. And but he just knew when to be a pro. I mean, he was so good at it every day. Like I said, it's just his work ethic. He was the hardest working guy in practice every day, and it just nothing better as a young guy to come into a situation like that where you know, Mikko is 36 years old or 37. He was you know, out muscling guys in practice and things like that, and he's pushing guys. So when you have your captain doing that, it kind of sets everyone, you know, everyone in line and follows pretty well. So he has, like you said, I think underrated for sure offensively. he had probably one of the best shootout moves going in a long time with the forehand to backhand over the glove. And you know, he almost perfected that. And, you know, he had such a good time here. What a legacy left in Minnesota. And I'm excited for him in Columbus. I think it's going to be something where, you know, maybe him not being the captain, you know, my brother just kind of was talking to him a little bit and just wants Mikko to come in there and just have fun, honestly, just to kind of play a relaxed role. And he's so, you know, Mikko didn't tail off a lot. I mean, I know he's at the end of his career. That's what people kind of label him as, but he's got a lot of juice. He's got a lot of heart. He's got a lot of work ethic. And I think he's going to fit great into the Blue Jackets organization. So, you know, we're happy that we don't have to face him next season, but we definitely hope that he has a great year, and I think he will.
Yeah, he was my captain when I came in, and he was just
That's
a young.
Right. You're here.
Yeah, I was there for a few years. That's where I started my career in Minnesota, and he was the same guy throughout his whole career. Like his first, because I was there when he was named captain. It was just cool to see him just. Wow. Embrace the role, like, and that was 10, 12 years ago, 15 years ago. It's just kind of neat to see him just still be the same player.
Who was your coach?
We had Jacques Lemaire.
And how was that? How was he? Because Mikko has like this love for Jacques Lemaire.
Yeah, he is. Everything you hear about him, how he's like one of the best coaches, if not the best coach ever, is true. He makes it easy to play the game where
wow,
you know exactly where to go at exactly whatever time it is in the game, whatever situation it is. He makes it super simple to play. And as a rookie coming in, it was so easy. He's like, you go there, you'll succeed. You do this, you'll succeed. And he's just a really good player's coach. So I love playing for that guy. And he molds you into be a great player. He puts you in situations where you can succeed. So,
but did he have this thing like where I heard that he would almost like throw the captaincy around, like he would change it every year?
Yeah, I don't think he knew who he, like, no one really took hold of it, you know? And
yeah,
I think he was looking for someone to just grab hold of it and just be like, I'm the captain, this is my team. And it never happened. He gave it to like Brian Rolston and all these other guys got it. And once Mikko got it, it was his team. So
okay,
it was kind of neat how that happened. But yeah, he gave everybody a shot, and I think that was kind of neat. But a good coach. He obviously quit and, you know, went his way, but it was just cool to see Mikko kind of progress as a captain to kind of age. And when I met him, gosh, he was just this 25-year-old kid who was captain, and he acted like he was 35 and knew exactly what to do. And he was always, like you said, hard worker, always serious, but he did know how to have fun when it was time to have fun. So it's kind of cool. Yeah. It's sad to see him go.
Yeah,
but
that's awesome.
I don't know. I think, you know, he did what he had to do in Minnesota. You guys have been stagnant for a few years. Who's going to be the next captain? Like, who is it? Because honestly, your name has been in the mix, Marcus. I'm not going to lie. When people say who's the next captain of Minnesota, what would you say if you were like Billy Guerin calls you in and he said, Marcus, you're the next captain?
I mean, yeah, I'd be honored. But you know what? I mean, I think it's something that I mean, yeah, you would love to be a captain of an NHL franchise, that's for sure. I think I'm lucky because I see my brother get to do it and see what he goes through on a daily basis and, you know, what he's been going through in Columbus. So I'm lucky to kind of have someone I can bounce information off of and just to get advice from. But, I mean, we have such, you know, leaders of Suter and Parise and, you know, a guy like Spurgeon too. You know, these guys are – you know, these guys, Zach was a captain in New Jersey, and, you know, Suits has just been, you know, kind of an assistant for a long time, and he's, you know, over 1,000 games, both those guys. And, you know, it's just, I mean, you know me, it's one of those things where I'm just a team guy, and that's how I like to keep it. So, you know, with a C or without a C, it's not going to change the way I am. I'm a little bit more vocal than I was in Buffalo. I think just as you get older, you just, what's what happens, you get a little more comfortable. And but not to a point, I like to think that, you know, I can only shout and yell if I feel like I'm working and doing my job. So that's how I've come to be.
Yeah, you guys have made a few moves this offseason. You try to shake it up. What do you guys have to do to kind of get over that hump? Because it seems like it's Groundhog Day every year for the Wild. You've been there for a few years. You're competitive. You have these expectations. You have great players. Like, if you look at your lineup from top to bottom, you're a pretty good team. like on paper. And then all of a sudden it just, you know, like you said, with Winnipeg, you win the first game and then you can't get over that hump. What do you guys need to do to kind of take that next step? And I know we can't, it's hard to answer, but I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mean, the way I like our team this year, I mean, I think we have some, like, we have some game breakers now. And like what I mean, like, you know, we kind of always relied on like a first line and then it kind of dropped down from there and then more depth players. And I think we kind of got it back now with this Kevin Fiala kid, who's been just an absolute stud since, you know, Christmas time. And it's not a one-time thing. I mean, he was great for us in the playoffs against Vancouver. And then now I think we just have this young and exciting talent with this Kirill Kaprizov kid who's a Russian coming in this year. He's supposed to look and turn heads. And then I just think our defense is so solid. I mean, you always have to have a good defense, and you always have to, like, every team that wins a cup, you look at like who they have on D. And I mean, we have unbelievable players. I mean, you have Suter and Spurgeon who are, you know, so good together. And then you have Dumba who, I mean, was having an unbelievable career kind of 2 years ago and then he got injured. But this Jonas Brodin, who plays with Matt Dumba, is one of the best. We call him best stick in the West because he's unbelievable at just pickpocketing guys, and he's got quick feet. But he's an unbelievable Swedish defenseman. There's your four guys that you can kind of go and win a championship with. And then I think offensively, what we were just missing was that kind of like that jump, that excitement, that creativity. And I think we got it going into next year. So, I mean, I know the role I played, you know, the checking line type thing. You always need those guys. And I think we have a pretty solid third. We call it 3A and 3B. We normally have a fourth line because we have both lines that can compete. We brought in a guy like Nick Bonino, who's won twice now and you know, puts up points and just knows his job, knows how to play the game. So I think having those guys now is going to benefit our team. So I feel like now we're kind of – this is our chance to get over that hump.
Yeah, Billy Guerin's done a good job. I've been impressed. And he said at the end of the year, he's like, our biggest weakness is goaltending. And me and Al are good friends. I know Al quite well. He had a great year. He's an awesome guy in the locker room. Do you think getting Alex Jones, do you think that'll solidify the goaltending situation there? Or I don't know. That's always a question mark in Minnesota. Dubnyk was, I don't want to say terrible for the last few years. He's had some personal issues. He's had some tough times.
Yeah.
It's just always been that issue with Minnesota. And I don't know. I know you can't answer.
I feel like it's just something that, we got to get past because I think it was kind of an easy excuse.
Yeah.
I've been here for 3 years and I feel like that's kind of how it's been. And it sucks for those guys because they're great guys. I mean, Doobie won a lot of games for this organization too. So, but I mean, like you said, Al, and now we have Cam Talbot coming in, who's, I think, excited. So
why did I say Alex Jones? Who's Alex Jones?
Thinking Martin Jones?
You know what?
Martin Jones?
I don't know, but you think you're thinking about Dubnyk going to San Jose with Jones.
You know what happened was I haven't had a drink in 2 weeks and my wife opened up a bottle of wine tonight and I've had a glass and I just had a beer and I'm not thinking straight. So I blame Daniel.
Yeah, but who is this Alex Jones? This guy could go and do something we don't know.
You were very kind to just kind of breeze through my massive mistake and then correct me. That's good. But yeah. Cam Talbot. Okay. Now we're back on the same page.
I thought you were going to say Alex Talbot, but that would have been Talbot.
No. But anyways, I'm encouraged by Cam Talbot. I mean, he's a good goalie.
I think the thing going into next season too is we have a lot of guys that have to prove themselves too because we have some guys on contract years. We got some, like you said, Al, who had a heck of a season next year. We're excited for him to follow it up. And Al's, do people say that he's number one? I mean, he's a goalie that I always think that they can always push for the number one, which is exciting because that's what you need to have success. So, like I said, we like the position that we're going into next season with.
I like it.
So my last question, Marcus, then I'll throw it back to John. I like asking guests who were or teammates of John. What can you tell us maybe a funny story? Or when people ask about John Scott, what's the story you tell them?
They don't ask
on the ice. I'm sure that's not true. On the ice, dressing room, on the plane, whatever.
Honestly, I think the best one, I mean, the one that sticks with me is because of, we had a rookie party in Tampa and I had to like stand up in front of all the guys and like roast all the veterans. And as a rookie, it's very intimidating. So, you slam a glass of wine, you get up. And then, I had Thomas Vanek in my ear, and he's just like, you gotta roast Johnny. You gotta roast Johnny. And I'm like, I'm not going after John. No, no effing way. Like, there's no way I'm going after him. Anyways, I said some like stuff about John. I'd maybe like, oh, hey, thanks for showing up to a free team meal, you know, because he never comes out with the guys. Something stupid along the lines like that. And next morning, we have a pregame skate. We have a practice next morning in Tampa. And I'm like putting my suit pants back on, and then my phone's ringing. So I'm like, okay, I'll just grab my phone. And I'm like, well, my pocket is like completely sewn shut. And like all my pockets in my like brand new suit are all sewn. And all I see is John walk by me. He's like, don't you ever effing talk about me like that again. And then that was it. That was the rest of that. What the hell just happened? Don't piss off John Scott moment. But that was the thing about John, is that he was always joking. It was always for fun. And I was a rookie at the time, so I deserved it.
I don't think you deserved it, but you know,
that was a good one. Like, good fun. And you kept calling my phone, and I'm like, and I was like ready to rip him. I had to get like an X-Acto knife and like cut all the little,
yeah, that's where it's good to know the trainers. Pocket. It's good to know the trainers.
George Babcock, that little rat.
I like Babs. I got to get he would be a great interview on the show. He did some, that guy has stories.
Oh, he's got lots of stories.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Well, anyways, Marcus, you were a great guy. Good teammate. I wish I would have played with you longer. I really did. I'm glad you're still cruising, man. Oh, sorry. We keep talking over each other.
No, it's okay.
But anyways, we'll let you go. I really appreciate you joining the show. When the league gets going, we got to have you back on.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I know probably baby number three is probably on the way soon, I would imagine, if she's two and a half months or so. I think in 6 months, I'm guessing she'll be pregnant again. We'll talk. That's how it works in the Scott household anyways.
Perfect. We'll be halfway to you guys by then.
That's we can just start a girls hockey team, like 20 girls.
Seriously.
I'm doing my part. God. You need to pick it up a little more. But anyways.
Yeah, you're the official girl dad.
I know. Hey, man. Congrats. I really appreciate you coming on the show. You're
yeah, I know. Thanks for having me. Good to see you and Danielle, and say hello to the girls. Ava, for sure, because she knows me. But
one of the good ones.
Thanks for having me on.
One of the good guys in hockey, Marcus Foligno. Thanks, man. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks. We'll see you next time. Cheers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at @dropping_gloves for episode highlights, behind the scenes content, sneak peeks, and giveaways. Check out johnscottallstar.com/shop for merchandise including t-shirts, hats, hoodies, and so much more. And please, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It's so important to helping us grow so we can keep delivering the hockey content and interviews with the players you love. Thanks, and see you next time.